Way back at the commencement of the 20th century, in the early 1900s, in the city of Cincinnati, Ohio, construction began on what was to be a great subway system, a lot like that already found in New York City. The state of Ohio allocated $6 million to the project of constructing this great subway system that would run underneath the streets of the city. And then with the outbreak of the First World War, that great project was delayed. And by the time the First World War had come to an end, inflation had risen dramatically, and the cost of the construction of the Cincinnati subway was doubled. And then with the coming of the Great Depression of the 1920s, building of that subway was cancelled indefinitely in 1928. And you can go to the city of Cincinnati 100 years later to this present day, and you can still find over 2 miles of a subway system that was commenced but was ultimately never finished. The project has since been described as one of the city's biggest embarrassments. And down through the decades, people have tried to resurrect that project and complete the project, but all plans have ultimately failed. And there are many people living in the city of Cincinnati that are unaware of the fact that underneath their feet there is a subway system that was started at great cost, not just financially, but even to the lives of workers all of those years ago. 2 miles of tunnels under their feet, and many people are unaware of them. It was an unfinished job, an unfinished project. I wonder, to some of the men in the meeting this morning, have unfinished projects in your home? Unfinished jobs, works that you started, and with the best intention in the world, you were going to finish them, but they lie this morning as unfinished projects. Might be better to ask some of your wives if there are unfinished jobs and unfinished projects in your home. I'm glad this morning that we have a God in heaven who always finishes the jobs and the works that he starts. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that whatever God does, he does well. This was one of the testimonies given concerning our Savior in Mark's Gospel, chapter 7 and verse number 37. He hath done all things well. What God does, he does well. What God does, he does forever. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 14. Whatsoever thing God doth, it shall be forever. And what God starts, he always finishes. The Bible says that our Lord Jesus Christ, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse number 2, is the author and the finisher of our faith. We were singing earlier on in our meeting that great hymn by Charles Wesley, Love Divine, All Loves Excelling. And the fourth verse says, finish then thy new creation. What God starts, he finishes. The old saints used to talk about a great doctrine that they called the perseverance of the saints. The perseverance of the saints. And what they meant by that was simply this. Whenever God saves an individual, whenever that person is born again and justified, and the Spirit of God enters in, that is the commencement of a great work that God has begun, and it is a work that God Himself will complete. And I believe that the Apostle Paul had that very doctrine in view whenever he uttered these great words in Philippians chapter 1 and verse number 6, he says, I am confident, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And if you notice that verse, Paul speaks about a work that has begun, He speaks as well about a work that will be completed, and he's also speaking about a work that is ongoing. He that hath begun, there's its commencement. And then we see as well its completion will perform it. And then we see the fact that the work is ongoing because he uses the word until. And I believe that Paul is speaking here about this great truth, this great doctrine of the perseverance of the saints. That whenever God starts a work in the soul of a sinner, brings them to new birth, God will continue that work, and God will perform, and God will finish, and God will complete that which he has started. As far as God in heaven is concerned, there are no unfinished projects, no unfinished works that our Heavenly Father starts. There are five things this morning that I want to say very simply and very straight to the point from this text of Scripture concerning our subject for this morning, the perseverance of the saints. The first thing that I want you to notice very simply is the commencement of God's salvation. Notice our text. He which hath begun a good work. There we have the commencement of God's salvation. And it's important to notice that the he that is spoken about in this text is God himself. It's not the Apostle Paul. Paul took absolutely no credit for what had happened in the city at Philippi. The reality is that Paul had no thought or desire of even going to Philippi. He wanted to go to Asia. He wanted to go to Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. And so, perhaps against his own initial plans, he found himself in the city of Philippi. He could take no credit for starting that work there. And the people in the city of Philippi themselves could not testify that they had commenced a work or they had begun a work, because the work began with the conversion of Lydia, who was a proselyte Jew, and then a demonic girl who was delivered and set free by the Spirit of God. She was under the control and under the influence of the devil himself, so she didn't have any desire to start the work. And then there was the conversion of the Philippian jailer, and he had no interest in Christ's cause either. And it took an earthquake to awaken that man to his sense of need. And so Paul couldn't take credit for the commencement of this work. The Philippians themselves couldn't take credit for the commencement of this work. Paul indicates it was God Almighty who started that work in you. And there's no preacher or pastor or sinner who can take any credit for the commencement of salvation in a person's life. It is God who begins this good work. And the good work that is spoken of here is, of course, God's salvation. Jonah the great prophet said, "Salvation is of the Lord." From its commencement to its completion, salvation is all of God. Back there in the book of Ephesians, a few pages back in your Bible, we see that this good work of salvation was arranged in eternity past. Paul says in verse 4 and 5 of the first chapter of Ephesians, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world," and the next part is vital, "that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will." There we see that this good work of salvation was arranged in eternity past. And then, of course, this good work of salvation was accomplished on Calvary's cross. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 says that our Lord Jesus Christ has obtained eternal redemption for us. And then this good work, this great work of salvation, was not only arranged in eternity past, accomplished on Calvary's cross, but it was applied to us in the new birth. Whenever a person is born again, and their eyes are opened, and their heart is opened, and their will is changed, that is God applying the work of salvation to the life of a sinner. And from commencement to completion, it is all of God. Salvation is God's great rescue plan, being delivered from sin and being conformed to the image of God's Son. It means to be awakened. It means to be converted. It means to be drawn and brought to Christ, and then to be changed from the inside out and conformed to the image of the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. And salvation includes Christ's work for us, but it also includes the Spirit's work in us. And those two things are absolutely imperative. Without Christ's work for us on the cross, we could never be saved. And without the Spirit's work in us, we could never be saved either. The Holy Spirit needs to apply all of the blessings that Christ procured for us upon the cross in order for us to be saved. And so we must never forget that a Christian is a person who Christ has done a work for, and the Christian is also a person in whom the Spirit of God is working. This is exactly what the Apostle Paul is saying. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you. Henry Scougal was an old Scottish Presbyterian preacher. He wrote a now famous book, a short little book, and the title of that book was The Life of God in the Soul of Man. And it was through reading that book that John Wesley and Charles Wesley and George Whitefield, three giants of the faith, were ultimately brought to faith in Christ. And they realized that with all of their praying, with all of their study, with all of their missionary endeavor, with all of their good works, with all of their religion, they were lacking this one vital thing. They did not have the life of God in them. And this little word that is translated work, he that hath begun a good work in you, that word work could also be translated labor. In fact, it's translated labor, the exact same word in verse number 22. Paul speaks about the fruit of his labor. It's the same word that is translated work in verse number 6. And it comes from the Greek word ergon, from which we get the word energy. And so it's speaking here of an effectual work. A real work, something that God actually and effectively starts in his people. And can I ask you this morning, has this good work begun in you? Have you really been born again? Has your life been changed? Is the life of God in you? Is the Spirit of God in you? Does Christ dwell in your heart by faith? Have you ever been born again? Paul here speaks in this great text of Scripture about the commencement of God's salvation. But you'll notice as well, he also talks about the continuation of God's grace. He that hath begun a good work in you. And the thought there is that this work has only begun. And since it has begun, it is now presently continuing. We see Paul speaking about this again in the second chapter and in the 13th verse. Listen to what he says. He says, it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. And that word worketh is in the continual sense. It doesn't say God did work in you or God will work in you. He says God worketh in you. He works in you continually. He's begun a work. He's continuing to work. And he will continue to go on working in you, performing and carrying out in your life those things that are according to his will. And so every Christian is a work in progress. A Christian is a person in whom God has done a work. A Christian is a person in whom a work is being done. Years ago in the Christian Endeavor, we used to sing a little chorus, little by little, every day. Little by little, in every way, Jesus is changing me. Since I made a turnabout face, I've been growing in His grace, and Jesus is changing me. And that little chorus sums it up well. The Lord has begun a work in me. He's turned my life around, but He's continuing to work. Little by little, every day, I'm growing, I'm changing, I'm developing. Christ's work for us, justification. Christ's work in us, sanctification. And the two things were secured at the cross. Justification is an act where God declares a sinner forgiven and righteous. Sanctification is an ongoing work whereby God continually changes that sinner and enables them to die more and more and more unto sin and to live more and more and more unto righteousness. Whenever Paul said, if any man is in Christ, he is a new creature, old things are passed away, all things are become new, he's not telling us that everything has been done, but he's telling us that everything has changed and everything continues to change, and the work is a continuing work. And again, the great question is simply this. Not only has a work been done in you, but is a work being done in you? Are you growing in grace? Are you developing as a Christian? Is my life continually going on with the Lord? Are we perfecting holiness in the fear of the Lord? The vital question is, what is going on in your life now? It's wonderful to be able to look back to a time in your life whenever you professed faith in Christ. If you've got a date and you can take someone to the very spot where you were converted, that is a wonderful thing. But it's not everything. Perhaps a more important question is, where are you now? What is your present spiritual state like? Are you now experiencing the reality of walking with God, growing in grace, cultivating and developing the fruit of the Spirit in your life? You see, 10 years after that church at Philippi had been established, and the Apostle Paul was now in a prison cell, absent from them, he is absolutely confident that God was still working in those believers at Philippi. And they were walking with God, running the Christian race, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of their faith. He knows God started the work. God is continuing the work. And then he assures them, I know that God as well will complete that work. Listen to what he says. Being confident of this very thing. This very thing. This is the thing here. That God has begun a good work in you and God will perform it. God will perform it. The word perform there means to carry through to the end, to complete, and to finish. Some of us start things and we never finish them. But every time God starts a work, He finishes it. In the Gospel of Luke chapter 14, the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 27 spoke to those who were professing to be His followers. He says, whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. He said in verse 28, for which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he hath sufficient to finish it? And that's good advice. There's a lot of practical advice in that. You're going to build a home. You're going to start a business. You're going to build a house. You're going to pay off a mortgage. It's good to do your sums and work it all out first. Now, what's the income? What's the expenditure? And make sure that you've got the ability to finish it. And the same holds good with living the Christian life. Jesus Christ is saying, listen, count the cost. Are you willing to take up the cross? Are you willing to go through with God? Do you purpose to finish this? And if that is true for us, how much more does this apply to God Almighty? How much more does that apply to Christ? Whenever the Savior came into this world, I believe he knew what it would cost. And he knew the great work that would have to be done in saving a people and bringing that people to himself and preserving and keeping that people and transforming that people and leading that people on. And he knew the cost and he paid the price and he was willing to go through with God and he finishes what he commences because he's willing and able to do that. You know, the whole plan and process of salvation is outlined for us in a very distinct manner in Romans chapter 8 and verse 29 and 30. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, to be conformed to the image of his Son. That's what salvation is. It's being changed and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. It's not just a get out of hell free ticket. It's certainly not a license to sin or live whatever way you like. It's being changed and conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Paul goes on to say that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And then he summarized the whole process of salvation in verse 30. He says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And those that he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. And so he's saying here, whenever God began that work in eternity past, and then in time calls a people unto himself, in the mind and in the purpose and in the plan of God, that work is full and that work is complete because God is going to glorify every sinner that he saves, every sinner that he calls, every sinner that he justifies. And so where there's no likeness to Christ, then questions must be asked. God looks at his people as they will be whenever he has finally completed this great plan for their lives. Dr. Harry Ironside said, too often we see the present imperfection and forget the future glory. Paul says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Christ Jesus. Now, this doctrine is not a license to sin, as some suppose. Some say, well, if God saves a people and keeps that people and they can never be lost, surely that's a license to live whatever way you like and to sin as much as you like, and nothing can ever change that. Whenever people come off with that mentality, that shows that they don't really understand what salvation actually is. Salvation is not being saved just from the penalty of sin. It's being saved from sin itself. A person who loves their sin and wants to live in their sin and has no desire to be done with sin and lives in habitual sin and their life has never changed, according to my reading of Scripture, simply has never been converted. Salvation is being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Having your sins forgiven, being cleansed and set free and delivered from sin's power, and being changed and made into the likeness of Jesus Christ. Now, Christians can sin, and Christians do sin, and we can fall into sin, but what the Bible is teaching here is that the Lord ultimately leads his people on and changes them and keeps them and transforms them and sanctifies them and makes them like the Lord Jesus Christ. You'll notice another thing about this great text of Scripture, not just the commencement of God's salvation, the continuation of God's grace, the completion of God's work, but it also speaks about the coming of God's Son until the day of Jesus Christ. Now that denotes that great and wonderful day whenever Jesus Christ will come back again. And certain great events will accompany the coming of Jesus Christ. He will appear physically, gloriously, from the heavens. The Bible says that the dead in Christ shall rise first. And then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. The scripture says he will judge the quick and the dead at his appearing. And that will usher in the marriage supper of the Lamb. And there will be many wonderful events that will accompany the coming of Jesus Christ. But one of the most wonderful things that will happen whenever the Son of God appears is that everyone who knows him, everyone who's been born again, shall be transformed, changed, the Bible says, in a moment of time, in the twinkling of an eye. Paul says, this corruption shall put on incorruption. This mortal shall put on immortality. John says, beloved, it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that whenever he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And that's glorification. That's what Paul was speaking about in Romans 8. Predestination, effectual calling, justification, and then at the end, glorification, being changed and transformed and made like unto our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul speaks about it in Philippians here, chapter 3 and verse 21. Speaks about looking for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body, according to the working whereby he is even to able to subdue all things unto himself. And so whenever Jesus Christ comes back again, we see the final outworking of everything that Christ died to procure for us upon the cross. He was able to say with confidence in John 18, verse 9, to his Father, of all them that thou hast given me, I have lost none. His work, his intercession, the abiding of the Spirit of God in us, give us this assurance that heaven is our home and to be with Christ forever is our destiny. Andrew Bonner said this, if the Father has the kingdom ready for us, he will take care of us on the way. If our Father has the kingdom ready for us, he will take care of us on the way. So the last thing that I want you to notice about this great verse of Scripture, not just the commencement of God's salvation, he which hath begun a good work, not just the continuation of God's grace in you, not just the completion of God's work, will perform it, not just the coming of God's Son, the day of Jesus Christ, but lastly, the confidence of God's servant. He begins with these words, being confident of this very thing. You see, Paul, in his own heart and mind, has got no doubts as to what salvation actually is. He knows that salvation is an act, and he knows as well that salvation is a work. Paul could have said it like this, I have been saved. And every Christian can say, I have been saved. Paul could have also said, I am being saved, day and daily, preserved and kept and delivered from a life without God. And not only could he say, I have been saved, I am being saved, but he could also say with confidence, I will be saved. He is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. He uses the words here, being confident. And the tense even in that little phrase, being confident, means or indicates what he had been assured of in the past and was also experiencing as a present reality. I've been persuaded in the past and I know it now to be true, that my God will perform and complete this work that he has started. The word confident means persuaded and absolutely convinced. He is convinced since God has begun the work, and God is the author and the finisher of our faith, and what God does, he does well, and whatsoever thing God does, it shall be forever, and what God starts, he finishes. If he has started a good work in me, he's going to finish it. And if he has started a good work in you, he's going to finish it. He knew well, I believe, the teaching of the prophet Isaiah, who said in Isaiah 43:13, when God says, I will work, and who shall let it, or who will hinder it, or who will stop it? God's work is unstoppable. Jesus Christ said, I will build my church, and the very gates or the very powers of hell shall not prevail against it. Paul's confidence, his guarantee that someday he's going to be in glory and the Lord's going to lead him on, his guarantee is in the very character of God himself. A God of truth, a God of integrity, a God who keeps his promise, a God of infinite ability, a God of righteousness, and a God of justice. And what this God has undertaken, this work in us, he's going to complete. Now, Paul would have no confidence if he's looking at himself and says, well, it's up to me. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't believe in any type of sovereignty that nullifies my responsibility. And the book of Philippians deals a lot with human responsibility. But ultimately, the work that is done in us is God's work. And God is working in us. And as it says in Galatians 3 and verse 3, we are not made perfect in the flesh. Christian, I hope today that you're encouraged and confident that the God who saved you, keeps you, and leads you on with himself. But again, the challenge is simply this. Has this work started in you? Is this work continuing in you? Do you love Jesus Christ now? Are you walking with Jesus Christ now? Are you in fellowship with God now? John Newton, in his great hymn, Amazing Grace, said, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. Grace has led me. Safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He goes on to say, the Lord has promised good to me. His word, my hope secures. He will my shield and portion be as long as life endures. John Newton was confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Now let's have a word of prayer together. And then we will sing that hymn that we've mentioned already, 323. Father in heaven, we are thankful today that we have a God who is able and willing to carry out all his plans and promises and purposes. We rejoice, O God, today that we can be confident that the God who began a good work in us, a God who called us and drew us to himself and forgave us and saved us, and put his spirit within us, is able and willing to lead us on with himself and to finish the work that he has started. Give us confidence, Lord, as we live the Christian life. Help us, Lord, to live in this victory and in this reality. And grant, O God, today that we will serve thee with joy and gladness, knowing that it is God who worketh in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Hear and answer prayer. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen.